We gonna have some fun tonight. Been in 1 Peter for only 15 years. I think I got it now. My favorite word lately has been what? Do. How many times do you think the word do is mentioned in 1 Peter? 17 times. Maybe 18, I'm not quite sure. I didn't feel like hearing it again to find out if it was 18. So I know for sure it's in there 17 times. Seriously. I said, oh, 18, nah, I ain't going through it again. 17 times the word do is mentioned in 1 Peter. Do. Do, do. The word do can take your places in the natural, in your job, and especially in Christianity. I was in the secular world. I was in a district manager first. This is all referencing the word do. Then I got a glorious job as an account manager. Oh, gosh. Oh, and right now that job is booming, man. Oh, Pastor, if I talk, we'll talk later, buddy. I can tell you the things that I got to say. Nobody else would believe me. It's booming. But I'm not what you say a very smart guy. But I was always an excellent district manager because I had two principles that I worked by. I called people back all the time. And I was at every single appointment, 15 minutes till. I can show you how to add 20 to 30% to your EBITDA, to your bottom line, by few principles. EBITDA means earnings before interest, tax, depreciation, and amortization. That's what I was judged by as a district manager. It's a P&L. It tells you what you've made, what you've overspent, and you got to know how to go through a P&L to be a good manager. If not, you're not going to do a good job. But just by doing, most people run their business out of a voicemail. How many times have you called somebody and hung up because you didn't feel like talking to a voicemail? It's run by voicemail. It is a turnoff. How many of you have called Sprint and they got you on a ding, 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 you hang up. And you hang up. I had on my voicemail, when I couldn't get to the phone, this is Omero Betancourt with Balgas Heritage Propane. Not available right now, but I will call you back in 1 hour. And like 99% of the time, when I issued a contract, it was signed. I always strive my very best to be honest with every single customer. Some people just didn't believe me. That's fine. I gave you honesty. You didn't believe it. It's your loss. Because I answer to a higher power. That word do can take your place. If you say something in the business world, do it, man. Don't wait 2 days to call anybody back. I can say that with any businessman. I guarantee I can add 20% to your bottom line by basic principles. I never lost customers when I was think I lost 4 or 5 in 20 years. The moment they let me go because I was blind, they lost 17 within 1 year. Huge customers. Two basic principles. They didn't return phone calls. One of the managers wouldn't even give his cell phone out. Me, I don't care. It's all based on honesty and shaking somebody's hand and calling them a friend. I'd go meet a customer. Hey, Bronk, how you doing, my friend? And I shook their hand. That took you everywhere with people. And if you say you're going to call them back, call them back. I guarantee you, if you administrate your business and don't run it off of voicemail, you can add money to your bottom line by simple principles, by doing, 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 doing. I guarantee it. I could sit with you for 2 or 3 days, ride with you in your truck, and tell you what you're doing wrong with your business. I could. And I'm not smart, but I got common sense. I've been to training after training in Baltimore, Maryland, with a company I work for. I went everywhere training, everywhere. And I learned a lot. I learned about hedging. I learned how to read a P&L with a fine-tooth comb. I learned all kind of stuff. I just don't talk about it much because I'm interested in this now. So I don't really talk about what I knew in the business world. Maybe I'll be back in there again one day. Probably not, and it doesn't matter. But let me tell you, I lost a great, great job. Me and my wife, when I got the job, we had plans. I said, you're not going to work anymore. I'll tell you, we're going to funnel money into the kingdom. And we talked about it, and then my eyes rebelled. But that's okay, though. They rebelled. They just completely went black on me. Carl and Renee. Yeah. Hallelujah. 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 So the word do can take you places. I got your back, punk. So the word do, if the word do is just another word, unless the word do is done. 17 times the word do is mentioned in the Bible. 17 times. In 1 Peter, 17 times. What a simple application if we do the word of God. You're capable of that. The moment you say yes, the moment you say yes to Jesus Christ, you're capable of it. Why? Because the Bible says you are. But the word do is just a word unless it's done. We strive, we scratch our heads. We can't deal with this oppression. We can't deal with this depression. We can't deal with this anger. Yes, you can. It's just a matter of doing it. See, faith is on the other side of that thing that's bothering you. If that thing that bothers you hinders you, there's no faith there. Faith is defeating the thing that bothers you. That's faith. That's biblical faith. I'm struggling with depression. Well, you're never going to walk in faith till you kick that depression right in the butt, man. Faith is on the other side of it. That's faith. That's true biblical faith. People say, I have faith. I have faith. Let me tell you something. If you don't do the principles of the kingdom, you don't have faith. If you walk in hate, you don't have faith. You have remembrance of the scripture, but you don't have biblical faith. I've been terrorized in 1st and 2nd Thessalonians. And Paul tells you in 2 Thessalonians chapter 1, what faith is, what exceeding faith is when you endure, is when you endure things for the gospel's sake. The fundamentalists say, receive Jesus Christ as Savior, and you're sealed forever. No, that's not what the Bible says. It said, when you're done with your walk with Christ, let's see if you're found worthy of the kingdom, if you endure. You only receive the blessing of eternal life, the world to come, if you endure things for the kingdom's sake. People say, well, I got faith. I know I'm going to be this and that. If you don't love your brother, you don't have faith. You have remembrance of the scriptures. That's all you have. You don't have faith. I hate to burst your bubble. If you're walking in strife and anger and unforgiveness, you don't have faith. You have remembrance of the scripture. Listen to that. Now, you got to listen to that. Whether you get mad at me or not, you don't have biblical faith if you're not overcoming things for the kingdom's sake. You have remembrance of the scripture. Remembrance in biblical faith is doing the word of God. It's not that God won't heal you where you're at. It's that you don't believe he can heal you because all you do is remember the scripture and don't have faith in kingdom principles. Faith is obeying even when you don't feel like, God, my teeth are gnashing, but I'm going to keep your commandment, Father. That's faith. I'm not gonna talk about people. I'm gonna endure this, Father, because I love you. Do. Now I ask Kirsten, she's gonna come up here and read a certain portion of scripture for me so that people in the audience and whoever hears it will know where I'm ministering out of. Kirsten, come on up, please.
All right, 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 20. For what glory is it if when...
The verse before.
The one before, okay. For this is thankworthy, if a man for conscience towards God endure grief, suffering wrongfully. For what glory is it if when you're buffeted for your faults, you take it patiently? But if when you do well and suffer for it, you take it patiently, this is acceptable with God. For even hereunto you're called, because Christ also suffered for us, leaving us an example that you should follow his steps, who did no sin, neither was guile found in his mouth, who, when he was reviled, reviled not again. When he suffered, he threatened not, but committed himself to him that judges righteously, who his own self bare our sins in his own body on the tree, that we, being dead to sin, should live unto righteousness, by whose stripes we were healed. For you were as sheep going astray, but are now returned unto the shepherd and bishop of your souls.
So we're ministering out of 1 Peter chapter what? Chapter 2, verse what? 19 through 25? So, yeah, 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 19 through 25. I feel real good right now. I'll tell you why, because I've had two or three pretty bad days. But the good thing about two or three bad days is you know you're going to come out of it, and it feels so good when you come out of it. Oh, it feels good. And, you know, me and Pastor Brown know what I'm referencing. But I feel great. I feel real good. The word do has really been hitting the spot in me. I don't know if it does in you. You might be doing already. I know there's areas in my life that I need to do that I haven't been doing, but I'm going to start doing. I'm going to do. Because I want to walk in faith. I want to give people Jesus Christ. And I can't give them Jesus if I don't walk in the fullness of faith. No strife, no anger, no hatred, no backbiting. Faith, obeying kingdom principles. That's what I'm talking about. Faith, true faith of the apostles that they had. They didn't care about their life. They didn't care about their life. They didn't, and I'm so excited about a simple word named, a word named do. That's what I'm going to call it, the word named do. And I've been in 1 Peter, and that book's been rocking my world, man. Just been rocking my world. Paul is basically instructing Christians that were being persecuted, not for comments on Facebook, but for their faith in Christ in Asia Minor, which is the modern day Turkey. I mean, they were being persecuted, man. And he writes 5 chapters on Christian conduct. Basically, he writes 5 chapters on what he calls in chapter 5, and this is the true grace of God in which we stand. The true grace of God. Not what certain people are preaching. It almost slipped out the name. Not what certain people are preaching. And I hope this does get out, because Paul said this is the true grace of God. The true grace of God in which we stand. So if he said that in chapter 5, then that means 1 through 5 is the true grace of God. So we just got to go in there and get it and find out what it is. So Paul's writing to believers in modern-day Turkey, Asia Minor, that are being persecuted for their faith. Basically, what Peter wrote and instructed people to do is what he did to the end. That's what separates now the modern-day church or modern-day pastors from the apostles. They call glory. Well, the house was exceeding full today of people. But the apostles would go into a house and minister to 4 or 5 and then be martyred for their faith. I think I'll follow somebody like them instead of somebody that glories on how many people were in the church service. That's been the modern day boast. In the modern day church, we, like Pastor Bronk said the other day, we know very little about persecution. But don't fear, it's coming. Take that to the bank, man. It is coming, and I hope you're aware of what's coming. I hope you're not caught up in your little world and just so caught up in life where you don't know what's coming. If you can't see the writing on the wall, my friends, you're just not in the spirit, because it is coming. But good thing about it is we have peace and comfort within us when we do God's word. If you don't do it, you're going to be tormented. But if you do it, you're going to be okay. And Paul and Peter's giving instruction to the church on how to respond to people that are evil. And the reason that, well, they're evil to the extent because they're unregenerate. And we know what people that are unregenerate, we know what they do. That should not surprise us at all, right? It shouldn't. We should never take offense at the world for doing what they're structured to do. That's what they do. And we say to ourselves, my God, there's some evil in this world. But let's never forget that before we came to the cross, we were evil. So, yes, I agree that this world's getting darker and darker, but they're only following the pattern of the modern day church. That's all they're following, because the modern day church is real wrong, real dark. And I'll stop there. But we can't forget, yes, according to Matthew 6, I think there's going to be more people go to hell, the more people go to heaven. That says it in Matthew 6 or Matthew 5, one of the two, or Matthew 7, in 5, 6, or 7. You know, there's going to be few that go through that narrow gate. There's going to be few. 6, is that what it is? Yeah. So I say to myself, and the Holy Ghost reminded me, he said, yes, you know, basically he gave me a little nudge there. There are a lot of evil people in the world, a lot, almost everywhere you go. They hate people that are conservative. They hate Republicans. They especially hate Christians. But we can't forget that through our walk, the only chance that the evil people got to get born again is through our love. Because not all evil people are going to go to hell. Some of them are going to give their life to Christ in this great revival. They're going to give their life to Christ. But until the full outpouring comes, there's a lot we can do till then. Amen? And we got to learn what it means to live an honorable life. And Peter tells us to a T on how to do it. He tells us what things are commendable and what things are not commendable. I'm hoping to get through with the portion of scripture that Kirsten quoted. I might not be able to, because the first, 15, 20 words are pretty powerful. But Peter says this in the context of teaching believers how to conduct themselves when persecution comes. Persecution because of our faith, not persecution because of sin. There is night and day differential with that. Persecution because we confess Christ Jesus as Lord, and we strive with all of our hearts from A to Z to keep the principles of the kingdom. Amen. And he says it. He said, this is, we're going to start in 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 19. He says it, and this is commendable. So he said this is commendable, then he's about to tell us what? What is what? Commendable. He said, this is commendable. So now after saying this is commendable, he's going to teach us what is commendable. And what's he say? If for conscience, what is it? For conscience towards God, one endure grief, suffering wrongfully. Notice what he says yet. He said, this is commendable. He's telling me and you what's commendable. If we suffer, we're conscious towards God, and we endure grief, suffering wrongfully. He said, what credit is it? What credit is it when you are beaten? He's talking to believers. Now, he's not talking to the world. So what credit is it, church, when you are beaten for your faults and you take it patiently? He says, first, this is commendable. If for conscience towards God, you endure grief, suffering wrongfully. But if you're beaten, or what credit is it when you're beaten for your faults? Beaten for your faults, you take it patiently. He said after that, he said, but if you do good and suffer for it and you take it patiently, this is commendable unto God, for this you were called. Okay, let me pace myself, because there's some teaching that I got to do here. It's a little harder. I got to remember everything. No, I don't got to remember. I just got to listen. I don't have to remember. I'm sorry. Forgive me, Lord. I don't have to remember. I got to listen. He told us what's commendable. If the world is going to persecute me and you for conscience sake, basically for obeying the nature of God inside of me, he said, that is commendable. If you suffer grief, if you experience grief, suffering wrongfully, he said, this is commendable. It's commendable when you obey the uh-huh inside of you. It's commendable when you obey that. That's commendable. Very commendable. He said this, if that's commendable, then something else is not commendable. He says this, what credit is it? I don't know what the word is in the King James. I've been reading the New King James. What's the word for credit? Is it glory? Okay. The King James says glory. The New King James says, what credit is it? He said, what credit is it when you be beaten? Talking to Christians now. When you be beaten for your faults and you take it patiently. Well, I thought this today. I said, okay. I do wrong. I square my shoulders. And I take it patiently. Well, doesn't that sound a little commendable? Think about it. You do wrong. Okay, you humble up and you take it patiently. That's not commendable. But listen to this. Nowadays, when a Christian does wrong and you're beaten for your faults, we don't take it patiently. The person that we did wrong to, we go off on them, even if we did them wrong, and don't take it patiently. And that's because we're beaten for we're guilty. We offend somebody, and yet the one that we offend, we go off on them. You with me on that? Commendable is when you do the right thing in the eyes of God. There's no credit or glory in your life when you do wrong and you take it patiently. But nowadays, we don't even take it patiently when we do wrong. We're going to defend what we did wrong, even if we're beaten for our faults. That is wrong, man. There's no glory in that. I did wrong. I take it patiently. Fine. That's good. Maybe you told on yourself. That's commendable to an extent. But nowadays, when we do wrong, when we do wrong to somebody, we don't even take it patiently. We have to defend the wrong that we did to be right and justified in our very own eyes. That's sad. But that's where the church is at. I'm going to do you wrong. I'm going to hurt you. But even in that, I'm going to defend myself in my error. Think about that now. Commendable is to obey the new nature, to obey God. What is not commendable is when we're beaten, believers, when we're beaten for our own faults and you take it patiently. He said there's no credit or glory in that. But even now, I'm going to use divorce. My wife, Rosie, leaves me. I cheated on her. Okay, worst case scenario. This is what in my personal, this has nothing to do with nobody. This is my personal thought on what's one of the worst things that can happen to a person, especially when you're married. So I cheat on my wife. We end up getting a divorce. I did her wrong. The writer says, you did her wrong. There's no glory in that because you did her wrong. Then he said, even if you take it patiently, there's no glory in that. That's, I'm going to have to dig more into that. He said, you did her wrong. You didn't even take it patiently. You did her wrong. She was a good wife. But you had to tell everybody why you did it, to justify your error, making her look bad when she was innocent. Well, she was a submissive wife. There's no glory in that. The glory is that I don't do it at all. That's the glory. He said, this is commendable. I'm going to prove it to you. This is commendable. If we're conscious toward God, one endure grief wrongfully. What credit is it if when you are beaten for your faults, you take it patiently? And what's the next verse say? Start it off for me. What is it? It's one person at a time. Somebody? Okay. What's the King James say, Pastor? You got your King James? Yeah. See, I'm sort of messed up because I've read the King James for so long, and then I got into the New King James. I think the New King James said this is commendable. If when you suffer for doing good and you take it patiently, he said, this is commendable. When you do good, listen to me, when you do good and suffer for it, and if you take it patiently, this is the part that I like. This is commendable this is commendable unto God. Unto this you were called. Unto this you were called, okay? Peter, what was I called to do? To suffer for doing good. You've never been called to suffer for doing evil. Because when I suffer for doing evil, I'm living like the world. Have you done things evil before? Yes, I have. I'm preaching to me. Before God, my eyes are on no one, literally. My heart is at no one. He said, but this is commendable. Commendable is when you suffer for conscience sake towards God. This is not commendable when you're beaten for your faults and you take it patiently. Even if you take it patiently, it's not commendable. But when you do good and suffer and you take it patiently, even unto this you were called. What was I called to, Paul? Peter? To do good. When doing bad was in front of you, and you did good, that's what you're called to do. Now, remember, he's referencing now people that hate us for our faith. He's not talking about the everyday things in life, but people hate you for your faith. do good to those that hate you. That's the context of this. He said, unto this, you were called. I was called to what? I was called to do good and suffer for the good that I do. I was never called. I'm not born again. I'm not structured internally to do evil and then take it patiently. No, I'm called not to do evil. That is faith, my friends. That's faith. When someone hates me, they absolutely detest me, but I still do not deviate from the word of God. That's the good that we are to suffer for. He said, unto this family prayer center of Immokalee, you were called. This is why we exist. And then he said, for even Christ Jesus, he gave us an example who did no sin, nor was God found in his mouth. When he was reviled when, they hated him because of his faith in God. They hated him because of the love. They hated him because of the message. He was reviled and evil spoken of for suffering for good. He is the perfect pattern, the perfect prototype on how to live our life when people hate us. He didn't revile back. He didn't sin. Then Peter said, follow his footsteps. Well, he didn't sin. When he was reviled, when he was evil talked about, he obeyed his conscience. He suffered for doing good. He didn't sin. He didn't revile. He suffered. He threatened not. He committed to him who judges righteously, whose own self bear our sins on the tree, that we, being dead to sin, should live unto righteousness. That's where the blessings of God are, man. It says in chapter 3, he said, and if you, God, I wish I had it all, but it's, no, I'm trying to remember that verse in 3. No, I'm skipping myself. I'm going ahead of myself. The point I'm trying to make is we have to do the word. We have to do it with simplicity. Now, the first verse of chapter 2 or the second or third verse of chapter 2, he said, as newborn babes, infants, as newborn babes, desire the pure soul nourishing milk of the word that you may grow thereby. That you may grow by obeying the internal word, the engrafted word. He told an infant in Christ, do this. He didn't say believe it. He said, do it. The only thing you got to believe is that Jesus is the Christ. After that, there's something written in your heart and in your mind. You don't have to believe not to walk in strife. You just got to not do it. You don't have to believe that you don't have to walk in revelings or fornication or adultery. No, you don't have to believe it. All you got to do is do it. It's already written in your heart. I just didn't believe it. No, you just didn't want to do it. Let's be honest with each other. I just don't believe it, Pastor Homer. I don't care what you believe. It's a matter of doing. The word of God is written in your heart and it's written in your mind. It's a matter of doing and not doing, uh-huh or uh-uh. This is commendable before God. For unto this, we were called, man. The apostles had no rights. They knew where they lived out of. They lived out of that marvelous light inside of them. They knew where the blessings of God existed. They concluded, Paul said in 1 Peter, in 2 Peter, the first thing he said, I am a bondservant. A bondservant. Unto this we were called. Called to do what? To suffer for doing good. See, we've developed, rephrase, I'm going to judge myself. I have developed a mindset that I'm entitled to bad days. We just had a bad day. That's good. And that's logical. But there's no logic in the kingdom of God. None. Well, I had a bad day. Okay, we might. When I said I had 2 or 3 bad days, it had nothing to do with being bad. But I've had a pattern in my life that when I feel not healthy, I feel I have rights to be a jerk. Can anybody relate to that? Our pastor said, Miss Candy, can you help me out a little bit with that? I felt that I, since I'm under the weather, and I was under the weather, buddy. I ain't gonna get into detail, but ooh, man, it hurt. It hurt a lot. Ooh, man. So the person that's closest to me is my wife, and she usually feels the brunt of it. But I've been in 1 Peter for a long time, and that word "do" has been stabbing me in the face. Tap, 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 tap. So it started last Wednesday. Coughing and coughing, and I knew it. What was trying to come upon me, and I fought it with a word. Yes, I did, like I never had before. I fought it. I had a resolve in it, man. And it usually lasts about 7 or 8 days of pain. This time the pain only lasted 3 days. I took medication, but it usually has to take its course, but not according to the word of God. So I spoke. Every time I coughed, I said, "They took my furnace, he bore my sickness." Every single time. So I would cough 15 times in a row. I said it over and over again. But I concluded that the pain was that I was feeling, it did not give me a reason to be a jerk. I was entitled to be a jerk. I felt bad. Logic. Lie. I'm going to brag on somebody. I knew a man that several months ago was real sick. Not real sick, but he was struggling with some symptoms for a while. He didn't miss one service of preaching the gospel because of that infirmity. That inspired me. That inspired me. Now, he let me preach one thing because it's because his voice was not, well, you already know who I'm talking about. I said, his, Pastor Bronk. That really inspired me. Really does it. I'm not going to lay down to this. And I kept my appointment every day while I felt that pain. I kept, not maybe not as long, but I got in there, partook of the word, it saturated my senses. Now, I'm not called to be sick. That's not the context of what I just said. That's not the context of it. But I do know that no matter what I face in life, I'm to always do good, man. I'm called to always do good. I'm called to always do good. So if I seen Pastor Bubba preaching the gospel, I should draw inspiration from my pastor. I should draw inspiration from him. If I don't, then he's off. He is to be our example. His wife is an awesome example. I don't like nice people. You can rest assured. I can walk in this church. Hey, Homer, I love you. Oh, I love you too. But she's got me saying it back now. She's got me saying it back. Now, the woman in this church, we got a lot of heroes here that are women. Delia's cool, but she wants to hit me all the time, man. Boom! Excuse me. Miss Kenny, hey, Homer, I love you. Here's your water. Thanks, Miss Kenny. God bless you. Oh, gosh. But we're structured, man, with a spiritual DNA. We're so used to saying, well, I'm going to be forgiven. Yes, you will. But if you did it just because you said you're going to be forgiven, you might want to recheck your heart again, man. He said, this is commendable. If you do good and you suffer for it and you take it patiently, the persecution from the world, if you take that patiently, that's commendable to the Father. For unto this you were called. Called to do what? I was called to do good, be persecuted for it, and stand with my shoulders square in adversity and bring glory to the King. In general, the church is failing And we're not even persecuted. He's instructing people that were being persecuted, possibly killed, possibly Christian women that were being raped. That kind of persecution. We're not persecuted right now. And we're missing it. I've missed it. But First Peter's walking my world with the word named do. No excuse. I'm not a newborn babe. I'm not an infant. Nobody in here is a newborn babe. Well, at least I don't think so. But we're structured. We're structured internally by the Spirit of God, which is the Spirit of Christ. And then if that's not enough, we have the precious Holy Ghost indwelling our habitation, man. Unto this we were called. We're not called to have bad days. Are you going to have them? Probably yes, but the more and more that I say yes, the more and more I make my mind obey my new nature, faith is rising up in me like never before. I don't worry about seeing again because I know it's going to happen because my faith obeys the principles of the kingdom. When I obey the principles of the kingdom, you can't obey them and not think that you'll never see again. It's when you don't obey them that you'll have doubt and unbelief because you're not walking in faith. But when I live my life according to how I'm called to live it, that's where faith is. I have my convictions with politics. I can't look at the other side with hate. I pray for them consistently that the Holy Ghost would just hover and just ignite every single person, every politician in this world. I'm not called to take an offense. You aren't called to take an offense. We're called to suffer for doing good. And then when we're suffering and when we're accused and when we're reviled, we're to take it patiently. The Greek word, euphamene, consistency, man. For unto this you were called. I was called to walk in euphamene for suffering, for doing good, just like our Lord was. I'm to follow his footsteps, who did no sin. We can't think that word no sin and think that it belongs to somebody else. That's for us, man. That's for us. If he did no sin in humanity, and he always did good and suffered for it and took it patiently, then we can too. Because a man did it. He said, this is commendable. When you're beaten for your faults and you take it patiently, it sounds honorable to an extent. But even that is not commendable. Because we weren't structured to be beaten for our faults. We were structured to do good and suffer and take it patiently. We've got to know this. I am not entitled to a bad day. It's not my wife's fault that I had bronchitis for a week. For 3 days, really, with pain. It wasn't her fault. And you know what? I cried. Homer, you cry all the time. I know. Don't correct me. Don't correct me. We live our life out of that marvelous light inside of us. And Peter called it a marvelous light. This coming from a man who denied our Savior 3 times. You tell me there isn't power in the rebirth, man? He goes from denying the Christ 3 times to being a martyr for the King. Please tell me there's no power in the rebirth. Oh, my God. 17 times the word do is used. 17 times. When he used the word believe in 1 Peter, he used it in referencing to believing in Christ. The word believe is used referencing Christ. After you reference Christ, or you believe in Christ, or you're born again, then you're called to do. And as you do, you believe in the outpouring that's coming. If you don't do the principles of the kingdom, you won't believe the outpouring's coming. It'll just be something that you got memorized. When Pastor talked about the young man that was in the accident, I was thinking to myself, it really, really bothered me. And a lot of us went, basically saying that's bad. But how do you know, off track, rabbit trail, but how do you know for sure if it really bothers you or it's just an emotion playing with you? How do you really know? When you go home and do something about it in your prayer closet. If you don't go home and do nothing about it, it was just an emotion. If you go home and you get on Facebook and tell everybody about this and that, it was just an emotion. I couldn't sleep last night. Still. Instead of just sitting there thinking about when's this thing gonna leave me, I just put on my CD player, 2 o'clock in the morning, and heard First and Second Thessalonians for hours. You wanna keep me up, sucker? I'll show you. After the second hour, I went to sleep. He's got to mean more into us than anything on the face of this earth. He has to. But if you don't strive to do the word from A to Z, you might agree with me here. You might say amen. But if you're not striving to keep the gospel of the kingdom, you're working off memory, man. But if you strive and you put God first in your life by doing, you can't say you put God first without striving to do. But if you do, you're striving with all your heart to present a holy God to society. But until we grasp that we were called unto this, what do you mean called until we grasp? No, wrong word. Until we do this, until we do good and suffer for it and take it patiently, this is commendable before God. We're beaten for our faults and we take it patiently. I thought that was noble before I got a hold of that. I said, that's pretty noble. Okay, I did wrong. Okay, I'm sorry. And that's not what Peter said. Didn't you always? I was okay, well, honey, I had a lying problem. It's a comical lie. Even after Renee and Carl showed up on the scene, I got in trouble for eating Debbie cakes in abundance. No, when I say in abundance. I've been blind for a season for 5 years. And what really took my peace, man, the last year, it took my peace. I'm almost done. Is when my wife would buy Debbie cakes, she would hide them. I always found them. Always. They ain't, but our kitchen is little. They ain't but so many places you can hide them. I'd find them eventually. They hid them in the closet. I found them in the closet. And then my kids are so sarcastic, man. So sarcastic. I'd hear them go to where I knew the Debbie cakes were at. They'd go, man, who ate all the Debbie cakes? I don't know, son, it wasn't me. Why are you defending yourself, Dad? Hit me with the same thing that I used at the pulpit. Oh, that took my peace that they would know for a fact that I ate the Debbie cakes. I had to lie to them. No, I didn't have to lie to them. It just took my peace. I didn't do it, Elijah. I didn't say you did that. I just asked who. That's plural, not singular. They tell me the same thing back. Somebody got false doctrine in them? Oh, my gosh. But since I've been getting a hold of the word do, your mom did, son. Even with, I was in the hospital for a long time, and I don't care how much money you got, you're going to have hospital bills. And people would call my house. And I listened to Susie Orman a lot years ago. And by the way, I got more of this when we, because I know time's short tonight. When I got the next couple of weeks to preach, we're going to go off more on 1 Peter. And I'm going to finish with this, that there's a sensitivity inside of me. The word do is so much in the Bible, and it's there to be done with the simplest of things. And a bill collector would call my phone. I speak to Jose Betancourt. I don't know, can you? So I would say to him, this is Jose. Can I have the last four numbers of your Social Security, please? I said, you're asking for me. I'm not going to give my Social Security number. It would go on and on and on and on. And then I just got tired of them calling me, and the lady called me all the time, several people. This Homer Betancourt? Nope. He left. Excuse me? He left. He went to Mars. Excuse me? He went to Mars. Okay, Mr. Betancourt, we'll call you back at a later time. But I was lying. I didn't go to Mars. One day I got real sophisticated with him. Now, this was a while back. Give me some grace. No, don't give me no grace. I was lying. I thought it was sarcastic, but I was lying. Then I got real sophisticated one time, and I was hearing Susie Orman. She was giving, you know who Susie Orman is? Okay. She's a pretty wise lady regarding finances in this particular segment. She was giving advice on how to respond to people that called you to bother you for owing the money all the time. So I heard her talk about the Free Credit Practice Act. People cannot call you. You tell them that you're in violation of the Free Credit Practice Act. I guarantee you they'll hang up on you because they cannot call you on a cell phone. They cannot. They can be sued for that. Come on, call me back. Call me. I'm being a little dramatic, okay? Okay, so if I tell them you cannot call him, you are in violation of the Free Credit Practice Act, please do not bother him again. And by the way, what's your name? I'm going to record what your name is. By the way, what's your name? I would ask them. And some of them would. They would hang up on me. But there's this one guy called me one day. He's a black guy. I could tell by his voice. He said, is Homer Betancourt there? Did you know this message is recorded? Oh, I'm glad it's recorded. Because I want you to hear this, sir. You're calling me on my work phone. It wasn't my work phone. I was lying again. You are in violation. You are in strict. And I'm glad this phone call is being recorded. Because I want them to hear how you're pestering me at work. I wasn't at work either. You are in. Yeah, I'm sorry, Pastor Bronk. I probably won't get to preach again. But I didn't see the word do in the Bible so much, guys. So I said, you're in direct violation of the Free Credit Practice Act. You cannot call me at work, sir. He said, Mr. Betancourt. I said, no. Listen to me. Do you not know that you're in violation of the Free Credit Practice Act? Do you know what he told me? Well, do you not know about owing somebody? I hung up on him. He got me good. She didn't tell me they could say that back. The point of the comedy is the word do is taking the gray out of the gospel. The gray out of my gospel. It's taking the gray out, man. It's taking the gray out. No matter how comical it was, and you laughed at it, man. You should have been mourning with me. I'm taking the gray out of my life. The word is do is in the Bible, is in 1 Peter 17 times. My faith in Christ grows as I do the gospel of the kingdom. And I can tell you this, the more I do the gospel of the kingdom, you can almost feel the outpouring, man. You can almost feel it. It's when you don't do that it's just stagnant, repetition, redundant words. That's all they are. You can amen it because it's proper to amen. You can like it. But you won't believe it until you abide in the doctrine of the kingdom. Do. And now that I want to do, they don't call me no more. I can do it, though. I know I can. Yes, this is Homer. Yes, I know I owe you for cutting off my toe. I know I owe you. I'll try my best to pay you when I can. In the voice of Miss Candy, I love you, sir. It's comical. It's funny. But the word do there is for a reason. From A to Z. From A to Z. Now, me and Pastor joke around. I call him Casey Kasem now. He knows why. You know Casey Kasem is Pastor Bronk? Okay, that's who you are now. Inside joke. I joke around with him and some of these guys. And I'll never cut that out. That's just clean fun. Clean fun. But in life, I'm called into this. To do good. And suffer for it. And take it with patience. The world is on the verge . We're going to need an outpouring, my friends. We are going to need an external manifestation of the kingdom. We are going to need it, and it starts with the beloved. The world does what it does. We got to do what we do, and it is commendable to the Father. The tree's green right now. Money's everywhere. It's easy now. But if you can't press in when the tree is green and when the grass is green and when the economy is good, you're going to have a hard time when true biblical persecution comes because of our faith. Pastor asked us many, I don't know, years ago to familiarize ourselves with 1 Peter. I'm asking you to do the same thing. Saturate your soul with the instruction of a martyr on how to handle yourself when this hatred comes. It's here now, but not in full manner. I give it 5-6% persecution right now. I'll tell you, it's going to come, and it's going to come swift if certain things happen. Pastor Bronk was so on. But prepare. Saturate your soul before it comes. That way, the thing that you're called to do, to suffer by doing good and taking it patiently, it'll be easy, man. Right now, it should be easy to all of us because there's no persecution. There's only temptation. There's only the lust of the flesh with no pressure to an extent. Satan's always pressuring us. We know that. But when hatred and incarceration and keeping us out of the market, per se, that's going to come. That's going to come. I think it's going to come hard against preachers. Good thing, if they ever come get us, I'm fourth in command here. You got to go through Pastor Bronk, Rex, Marty. Sir, I only come here on occasion. I only come here on occasion. And there's a couple of black boys that are up and coming elders. I'm like 8th, 9th on the totem pole, sir. Amen. The word do is used 17 times in the book of 1 Peter. Let's run with it. Amen. I love you guys. God bless.